Today on Real Radio.
You know, if you love somebody and you make overtures of love and it's never returned, you can only do that for so long until you get the message, right? That can happen in the body of Christ. It ought not, but it could. And so we need to hear the heart. Not only the heart of God, the heart of Paul, but our own hearts.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 6 and 7. The section contains the famous admonition by Paul not to be, as he puts it, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, gives us the culture and history behind the expression and what it really all means. It's a lesson called Come Over Here. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A moment ago, so many of you, if not all of you, raised your hands about being married, and probably a great bulk of you have got kids. And if you constantly tell your kids, no, sit, stop it, stay there, don't do that, get down, no, that kid, you may not realize it or not, but that kid is going to grow up knowingly or unknowingly coming to this conclusion: I am not going to approach my dad or my mom for anything. I already have been programmed. They don't know how to talk like this yet. But they have been programmed to believe that I already know the answer. So I'm not going to tell them. I already know the answer, so I'm not going to go there. I'm going to seek counsel with someone else. Listen, parents, that'll break your heart if your kids seek counsel, ungodly counsel. Nobody loves them like you do. But the term is this, that when we reach out, like God is reaching out to the body of Christ, like Paul is reaching out to the church at Corinth, he's saying, oh, Corinthians, it's tender. I've got to tell you about something, because you guys know by now, the Corinthian church was very carnal. They were messed up. And rather than beating them up, Paul invites them to enter into a relationship that they ought to know well about. Come over here and hear this way. Number one, hear the heart. Verses 11 to 13, hear the heart. Oh, Corinthians, he says, we have spoken openly. This is awesome. I appreciate this in this time and age of our 21st century Christianity. He says, Corinthian Christians, I, Paul, and my ministry team, we have spoken to you in such a way that is purely, absolutely authentic. There's no charlatanism in what we're doing. There's no games. We are ministers of the gospel, and what we've spoken to you about, it's real. Do you want that? Church, don't you want that? I want that. Nobody wants, and people are sick of, a false Christianity. It can't relate because it's not authentic. And that would mean that someone is one way in front of people or their friends or whatever, and different off the platform, out of the pulpit. And personally, I believe that God will judge that. And yet we see it happening all over the place. Paul, what a great lesson for every minister of the gospel, or for any of us who are serving in anything. Well, for that matter, if you have a husband or a wife, you are a servant of the Most High God. Look, let's be honest. Those of you who are single, I'm not knocking it, but it's very, very easy to be single. You say, oh yeah, no it's not. Look, I used to be single. And the battles you have as a single person ain't nothing compared to the battles you have as a married person. And all the married people said, amen. It is wild. You've got to learn how to read that person. Lisa and I have been married 34 years. I'm still trying to figure that out. I've almost given up. It's kind of like, I don't know, Lisa, how should I answer that? Or, I don't know, Lisa, what should I do about that? Because it's like, what? Because you guys know, I'm just talking to the men right now, just men. We can be told one thing, but tomorrow it's a different thing. It's the same question. Same question, different answer, Monday to Tuesday. It's like, that's why the Bible, Peter says, men, husbands, dwell with your wives according to understanding. Did you know that's impossible? That's why every husband needs to wake up praying and asking God for guidance. Oh, God, give me understanding today. And you say, you know, what are you doing? What are you saying this for? I'm saying it affectionately this way because it's a ministry. Marriage is a ministry. Look, when you're single, it's like, what do I want? I don't know. What do we want? I don't know. You want to do this? Yes, I do. It's me, myself, and I, and we're in perfect unity all the time. It's this single, unholy trinity. It's all about me. And then you get married, and she says, I want to go this way, and you want to go that way. And if you say, we're going this way. Now, there's people who do this. There are men or women in their lives, and they say, this is the way that it is. We're going to do it this way. Man, I don't know if that's a marriage. There's got to be a dialogue, and it would be better if she or he would say, you know, honey, if we go this way, I think you're going to like it. Well, then, here's the car keys. Let's go. A tenderness to it. And he's saying, oh, Corinthians. And Paul is reaching them. We've spoke openly. We've hidden nothing from you. That's what he means. We've hidden nothing from you. Our heart is wide open. We've got nothing to hide from you, Corinthians. Now look at this, verse 12. You are not restricted by us. Listen, this word restriction is brought down to a narrow place. You've not been squeezed into ineffectiveness by us, but by your own restrictions you've placed upon your own affections. Say, Jack, what does that mean? It's awesome. Listen. Paul says, Corinthians, you've heard a bunch of stuff about Paul and about the ministry of the gospel from other people. A lot of legalists want to mess you up. And I'm here to tell you something. Your life has been restricted towards us as apostles. You don't give us love. In fact, today we would say, where's the love? Paul says, our hearts have been wide open to you guys. We've not kept anything back. We've loved you openly, Corinthians, but you've not returned the love. We didn't restrict you. You've restricted yourself in sharing love. And this opens up a whole can of spiritual worms. As Christians, we are to, look, it's common. Is it not the absolute real commandment? If we love God, we're going to love one another. If we withhold love for one another, that doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth all the time, but we are mandated to love one another. Do we as a family have arguments as a church together? Are you look, if you have them in your earthly family, you're going to have them in spiritual families. So what do you do about that? You shoot somebody? You beat them up? No. Listen, you reconcile. God mandates it. Why? Because God wants you to be reconciled with him. When you're upset with God, we've all been upset with God. I don't know if I was accepting God's will completely this weekend. I absolutely hate Santa Ana winds. I hate them. I can't see any good that comes out of them unless you own a tree service. They're the worst. And they started blowing. And if you knew me and my family, they hear me pray all the time. I'm not joking. Dear God, please don't let Santa Ana winds come this year, please. Now, 2 years ago, they didn't come because I prayed. It's true. And destruction everywhere. My house has got tons of trees, and it was horrible. And so I opened up the window, I looked out into the yard, and I walked out into the backyard. In the wind, I kind of looked like Moses. My hair was wild in the wind, and I had my rake as a staff, and I stood there, and I raised up my rake, and I said, cursed be this wind! It may have been God's will to send the wind, but the things that transpire in our lives, even relationally, are to test our hearts. And Paul is saying, Corinthians, you don't like me right now because I've told you the exact truth you need to hear in the preceding five chapters. And then last year when he wrote to them 1 Corinthians, and you have not liked it. Because your heart has been reduced down to a thing that can't give love. You're hurt. You've become embittered, Corinthians. And Paul is calling them as a witness before God. I have loved you. I've cared for you. I've hid nothing from you. So what's the deal? He's forcing them to think, why are they withholding? And it happens. It happens here. Many people will come to this church sometimes just to sit for a little bit. Because I get letters from people. Well, we came from such and such a church. We just hid out. And we just, you know, we're getting healing and all that stuff. I completely agree and understand how that goes. The beautiful thing is to get healing. God, look, make no mistake about it. No matter how cute you can dress up a church, it doesn't change a real biblical church. A real biblical church is a strange thing. It is a launch pad, like Cape Canaveral is a launch pad to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. At the same time, it's a hospital. And at the same time, it's a rehab center. And at the same time, it is a warrior mission, you know? The church is amazing as an organism, spiritual organism. And God meets the needs of wherever we may be. But God will never coddle us and pamper us in our grief when it comes to this kind of stuff. When I say grief, I mean, God, I can never serve again because that person hurt my feelings. I mean, they really hurt me. And listen, God will say, look, you need to, I understand all that. You need to get your heart right, all this stuff. But listen, you only pull into the pits long enough to get your tank topped off and your tires changed. And then God says, get back out there. And so maybe you're here today and you're saying, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can love again. Oh, yeah, you better love again, because listen, that's the only way that you're going to find true power of God's love working through your life. You got to love your brothers and sisters again. But they'll hurt me. Listen, you're going to hurt them along the way too. It's a family. And God says, do it. Don't board up your heart. Don't restrict your heart and not love. Oh, you'll go to heaven, but you'll go to heaven with a limp. No, risk it again. Paul is saying, Corinthians, come on. By the way, you can extend love. I'm just speaking human terms. I cannot speak on the magnitude of God's love. He's God. But on human terms, you know, if you love somebody and you make overtures of love and it's never returned, you can only do that for so long until you get the message, right? That can happen in the body of Christ. It ought not, but it could. And so we need to hear the heart. Not only the heart of God, the heart of Paul, but our own hearts. And when he says, I speak to you as children, what a sweet thing. This is not an insult. He's not saying, I'm speaking to you guys like a bunch of whiny babies. He's not saying that. He's saying to them, listen, this is a spiritual pop, spiritual father speaking to my kids. Isn't that sweet? Right here in the Bible. Authentic Christian ministry is what he's challenging them to practice. And that is a wonderful thing. They had restricted themselves, though. The Bible says, Jesus said it in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent. Change your mind and go back and do the first works. Do you remember what the first works of loving Jesus was like? Jesus was everything. You were drunk on Jesus. And look, you don't have to be a new believer to enjoy that ride. New believers do. In my opinion, the goal in my Christian discipline is to maintain that crazy love for Jesus all the way through to the end. And the key is to keep loving others to do that. I don't think you can love others without loving Jesus first. But isn't it an awesome thing that he calls us to do this? And Paul is coming against and challenging their hearts. The second thing I want you to see is in verse 14, come over here and hear, and that is hear wisdom. Hear the wisdom. In verse 14, this is a very famous verse, by the way. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? We've all heard this verse. Predominantly in a dating relationship, something like that, somebody will say, especially parents. All parents know this verse if they have older kids, because their older kid may be interested in an unbelieving girl or an unbelieving boy, man, whatever. And you say, well, is he a Christian? No. No, he's not a Christian, but you watch, Dad. I'm going to win him to Christ. Which is interesting, because most often she hasn't won anyone to Christ yet, but she's going to win him. Gee, sweetie, what's the motivation? He's cute. And every parent knows about this verse. And it's certainly true to use it in that manner, but that's not exactly what Paul was speaking to us about and speaking to the church at Corinth about. Mark it down, Christian, please. In verse 14, it teaches us that there are certain associations that Christians, listen, must endure in this world about yoking. Yoking, write it down, yoke. What is that? It means to be harnessed up to become one with. Yoke. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it is, Jesus says, take what? My what? Yoke upon you, which is very awesome. We had known, listen, I know that we know this, that Jesus is speaking in a teaching manner when he said that. Take my yoke upon me, for my burden, it's light, the weight is easy. I got. But have you forgotten? What was Jesus' earthly way of making money? He was a carpenter. Guess who made yokes in those days? Carpenters. Jesus was a carpenter. When Jesus says, take my yoke, church, this is awesome. Here's the reason why. When you have two oxen, even though you have two oxen, there'll be a difference enough when it comes to, now those of you who are in high-performance sports or high-performance automotive or high-performance anything or engineering, exactness is important. The slightest change could determine disaster. Jesus said, take my yoke. Take the yoke of God the Son who made you. I know how you should be yoked. And here's how it works. You got two oxen. You got two oxen, and you get ready to put them to work. They're going to start plowing your fields. You know what? One of the last things you do before you start at harvest or sowing season, you go down to the carpenter shop. In this case, Jesus' carpenter shop, Joseph's carpenter shop. And no doubt this happened to them every season. And they would come up and they'd say, Joseph, I need you to size up my oxen. He would take measurements. And guess what? He would make two yoke connected to a crossbeam. That yoke was tailor-made for that ox. Perfect. Jesus says, take my yoke for you. In life, I'm only talking to the Christian. If you're not a Christian, good luck. You're on your own. I'm only talking to the Christian. Christian, listen. Jesus says, you come to me, I'll give you the yoke for your life. That no matter how hard it gets, you're going to be able to do it. Remember, and maybe he would have engraved. I'm making this part up right now. But maybe he could have engraved on it, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because the yoke is only as strong, or that team is only as strong, I should say, as the yoke. You may have a 3,000-pound ox, but he can't do nothing unless you've got the right yoke. And so you have these ox, and when they're connected together, when the yoke is made by the master, though they're a little bit different, they're different, but they're a little bit different when it comes to the technology of it all, they can do a great job. Why? Because the yoke, they're not fighting the yoke. The oxen are using the yoke to pull the task. You got that? When you are unequally yoked, you would have either a unsanctioned yoke. It doesn't fit right. Or you have two animals of different nature. I read a guy preparing for this message. I read a guy who was traveling through the Middle East. I don't know where he was. This never would have happened in Israel. He was not in Israel. And the guy had a yoke. He had yoked a donkey. You can yoke a donkey if you have another donkey. He yoked a donkey to a camel. And the guy was going by in a car, and he saw the camel and the donkey pulling a plow. And the camel was going like this. Watch, everybody. The camel was just walking like he's on vacation. And the donkey was running to try to keep up. And on top of it, he said at times the donkey would stumble, and so the knucklehead farmer would start beating the donkey. And this pastor, said it was a horribly cruel and vicious sight to see. The donkey was getting beaten. The donkey was not made to pull the plow with a camel. And Paul is saying, don't be unequally yoked. You can't bring two of different natures together and expect it to work. You say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Exactly what you think I mean by that. It doesn't matter how cute he is or how cute she is. And it doesn't matter how passionate you are about missionary dating. Oh, I'm just going to, I'll date him and lead him to Christ. Or I'll date her and lead her to Christ. Listen, the whole thing, God says avoid it. Just avoid it from the start because you're hooking up to a situation that it's going to be unequal. And guess who pulls all the weight? The believer. When the believer hooks up, marries an unbeliever, it's going to be tough. Look, are you married to a Christian? Are you a Christian? Married to a Christian? It's tough enough. When you, as a non-Christian, are married to the Christian, the Christian is in a whole different emotional, spiritual mindset of everything. And in almost always the situation, there's exceptions by the grace of God, but in almost always the situation that we hear about in ministry is that the non-believer pulls the believer down. And emotionally, the believer's trying like that donkey to run, but he or she's strapped to a camel. And their life is spent. And it's tough. And God says, listen, I want you to come together in agreement spiritually. You have to have the spiritual foundation. Nothing else will fit. Nothing else will fit. You wind up having separate vacations, separate money, separate interests, separate passions, separate hobbies, separate goals. Marriage is a supernatural, God-ordained, spiritual setting. And he's ordained it that. He made it up. He calls the rules and he made it that way. And he says, don't be unequally yoked, but it transcends even marriage. He says, unbelievers, with unbelievers, don't yoke up. So listen, what is this certain association that we as Christians must yoke to the world? Yes, there's some yoking we have to do with the world. Well, how so? Well, listen, are you going to go to work tomorrow? Do you have an unbelieving boss? Or do you have unbelieving employees? You're supposed to be working at the company address for the same common cause.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Come Over Here. It's a study taken from chapters 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians, where Paul admonishes believers not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Again, Come Over Here is the title, and it's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you happen to get a smartphone or maybe a tablet for Christmas? If you did, you've likely downloaded some apps already. Well, here's one more that you need to download. It's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. By the way, it's free. Once you download it, you'll get all the great features like Watch, which takes you to Real Life TV and Pastor Jack's teachings, Listen, which takes you to the daily Real Radio broadcasts, Read, which takes you to Pastor Jack's Real Life devotions as well as our online Bible, Grow, which takes you to tools and resources to know God better, Connect, where you can watch Pastor Jack on YouTube and follow him on Facebook, and a whole lot more. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app is a free download. Just go to your app store to find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Want to reach us by phone? Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.